Yeah, they are. I mean, at the end of the year, you know, during the year, you kind of wonder, like, who's next for the Orioles, you know, who's going to be their starter. And then you, as the year went on, it was like, well, they're all pretty good, you know, and but you were missing kind of Jason Hamill. And then in the postseason, obviously, they got Hamill back to kind of be that number one type guy. And he pitched like it. And he's not a true number one, but he certainly didn't shrink from that role. So I agree with you as far as the core goes. The guy that we didn't mention is Brian Mattis, and I still think Brian Mattis is the guy who
he could be.
Other teams would be as interested in as anybody.
I'm not sure this is going to sound strange to some of our listeners, although I think my audience knows how I feel about Brian Mattis. I'd be reluctant to trade him because, if for nothing else, his versatility, and you're falling back on a guy who proved in the keyest of spots he could be a shutdown guy out of the bullpen.
That's right. So you do know, like you think that Jake Arrieta could be that kind of guy if he doesn't start, but you know that Brian Mattis can be that guy. I think out of all those players, I think that Brian Mattis still has the highest value because teams valued him so much as an amateur and then saw him pitch with such aggression with the fastball out of the bullpen. I still think there are a lot of teams, I think they could go in there, get him cheap, and have a number three starter or maybe even a number two type starter. I'm with you. I'd be reluctant. If I were Baltimore, I would want him. I would want to be the team that reaps the benefits of him rediscovering the beauty of pitching off your fastball. To me, Jake Arrieta would be the guy that I'd be willing to take a chance on. The stuff is there. It's definitely electric. Whether or not he ever unlocks that in Baltimore, I'm not sure about. Maybe he's a guy who ends up being your setup man, your eighth inning guy, or even a closer if you need him. Jim Johnson ever falters, because he does have electric stuff. But there's more to that closing role, as Jim Johnson showed, in electric stuff. It's really all about having a short memory. But they do have a surplus, and I think we all know that Bundy's going to be part of it. I do think that I expect Kevin Gausman to be part of that as well. He's not at the same level for me as Bundy, but he isn't that far off. He does have a big fastball. He has a great changeup, and the breaking ball at times is an average or plus pitch. So he's got the frame. I always like guys who showed you that, as he did in high school, who could spin a breaking ball at altitude like he did in Colorado as a prep. And I've said it before, I like the track record of high school of pitchers out of from Colorado. Ho Chaver is the bad example, but the Roy Halladays, there are a lot of guys, Brad Lidge, there have been a lot of big leaguers the last 15, 20 years have come out of Colorado and been pretty effective big league pitchers, and I feel like Gausman fits in with that.
John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America. And, John, let's go down the Orioles prospect list a bit. We don't have too much time. But, as always, depth an issue and a big question. But Jonathan Scope, I thought, considering his age in the Eastern League, he had a lot of home runs this year down there. Do you see him progressing as a middle-of-the-diamond power hitter in the infield?
I think he's got a chance to be a guy with average power. And, you know, he's kind of like a little bit – I kind of like him, actually, to Ryan Flaherty. And he's a right-handed hitter, not a left-handed hitter, but – a guy who I think we're still trying to figure out what his best position is defensively. And like Flaherty in the minors, he's played all over, so it's harder to gauge really what his best spot is. I think third base will probably be eventually his best spot, and it's going to be like a 15 to 20 home run bat. I haven't ever talked to a scout that thinks he'll be a star. I have some of the guys who like him, and you can see him this Saturday in the Rising Stars game out in the Arizona Fall League. That'll be at 8 o'clock on MLB Network. To me, he's a clear three for me. Ooh, Nicky Delmonico four, but both of those guys are guys who maybe don't perfectly profile at third base and at first base as far as the power potential, but Nicky can really hit, and Jonathan Scope is athletic and can do a lot of things well. I don't see either of those guys as stars, but I do see them as future solid regulars.
Xavier Avery played some big innings for the Orioles this past season in left field and actually really held his own. I was actually very disappointed after him really holding his own in the big leagues and what he didn't do really in AAA Norfolk. I thought he'd really take off after getting sent back down. He did not, so he remains a big question. Someone I thought when he got sent back down originally, I could see him being your starting left fielder next year, but he did not do enough when sent back down to AAA offensively. LJ Hose had a big year with the bat, but still the power's not there considering the position he plays and the positions he plays. But these are two guys who I think are major leaguers because they're athletic, they're fast, and they play everywhere in the outfield. What say you on those two guys, Hose and Avery, who we've linked together so much since that, 08 draft?
Right. Yeah, we absolutely have. And, I've always preferred Xavier Avery, but I'm more on the LJ Hose side of that now, just because if you hit, they'll find a place for you to play. And L.J. Hose, in a lot of ways, is kind of like a Nick Markakis in terms of he's going to hit for average, he's going to draw walks. Does he have profile power for the corner? No, he does not. And he really can't play center. And, you know, the Orioles had the right idea a couple of years ago. They tried to play him at second base. But, you know, there are very few outfielders who go to second base. You know, Dustin Ackley sort of did. Jason Kipnis did it. Skip Shoemaker did it. L.J. Hose has not been able to do it. So he's a left fielder with below average power. But that might work for the Orioles when you have a catcher and a center fielder who hit like cornerbacks and a shortstop in J.J. Hardy who has corner power. So I think it can work for Baltimore, but there are not very many places where I think L.J. Hose would be a regular. But for me, as their lineup is currently constituted, I think he has a better shot of being their everyday left fielder than Xavier Avery does.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Orioles. There are only so many holes this year to fill, unlike offseasons gone by where we're talking multiple positions. Right now, it's who they want to keep in that five-man rotation, and then maybe a spot's open in the bullpen, not too many. And then second base and left field and possibly DH and first base. So right now, it's very